Well, at this time, I'll ask that you turn with me to our scripture text for today. It's taken from Philippians chapter 1 and just verses 27 to 30. In your red pew Bibles, it's found on page 699. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. And the focus and the topic of the message today is living like a Christian. So I'll read this for you, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. O may God bless the reading and also the preaching of God's words to your hearts today. At this time, may we go into a period of congregational prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come in this dawn of a new year, we are very thankful and grateful for what you have provided for us, what you have given to us, and how you have seen us through the past year. But help us to focus on this year, on what you have set out for us in our endeavors, in whatever place that you have us, or that you have called us to be, that we will be shining lights, we will be salt as not lost its savor, that we will testify of your goodness and your grace and your mercy to all those who have not heard about you. We also pray for strength each day. It is in you that we have this everlasting fountain of strength that it does not run dry. And you will also freely give us grace and strength in time of need. So we pray for our health. Give us good and able bodies to do our work. Give us the wisdom as well as we make decisions. And we pray for discipline. Discipline to do our work, and that we may be good testimonies, showing forth of this Christian work ethic, that others may see just through our actions that there is something different about us, that there is something changed in our lives, that we are no longer like the world. We have turned from our old and wicked ways, and that because you have made us a new creation, you have instilled in us your Holy Spirit, which will help us, which guides us, which leads us to walk a life, this life anew. We also pray for those who are traveling, those who may be away from us in the coming weeks, in the coming days. We pray for journey mercies, and that you may bring them back to us safely. We also pray for our congregation. We pray as we are here that we will be faithful to you, that you will give us this love and zeal and this passion for you, to worship you, to uplift you, to glorify you. And even though we are here without a resident pastor, we pray for faith. We pray for patience, endurance, and we pray for prayerful hearts, yearning and desiring hearts, that we may lift up this petition to you daily, that we will cry unto you, that you may provide in your time a resident pastor, one that will shepherd our flock, And in the meantime, we pray that you may help us to still spread forth of your good news, and that we will remain faithful to you. We thank you for the watch night service, for all those who have come last night through the snow. We thank you for all those who can come even for a worship service. We thank you for this country where we can worship you freely. And we pray for all those in levels of governments who proclaim you as their Lord and Savior, that you will instill with them a godly fear and reverence, that they rather obey God than fear and obey men. And we pray for the policies, the bills that are proposed in the levels of government, that wherever may be passed, we know is according to your sovereign will. Give us understanding. We do not know what or why things happen, even in our individual lives, where we pray that you may give us patience, that we may come to see and to understand your will for us. So once again, we pray for your word. May it lay up, root up in our hearts. May it not fall on the dry ground. May it not be choked by the weeds and the thorns of the world and the pleasures of the world. And we pray for Reverend Chan as he delivers your message. We pray for strength. We pray for endurance for him. We pray for his concentration and clarity of mind as he speaks forth from your holy and infallible word. And we pray that this word will strengthen us. It will cause us and then empower us to go out into the world living as you intended us to live, as Christians, as those who are bearing the image of Christ. So we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the kids can leave us for their Sunday school activities, and at this time I'll invite Reverend Chan to address us with his message.
A very good morning and Happy New Year to all of you. We thank God for a new beginning with plenty of snow. And this morning, I'm going to speak about living like a Christian. It is an important topic, good for all, young and old, and I'll be preaching this topic here and also in Singapore. I'll be leaving in a few days' time, preaching at Calvary Jurong, the English and the Chinese service. So this topic I'll preach three times. The first time is better. The more time you get tired, and so you all have the best. So I will begin with someone who says something about Christian. Philip Yancey, a very famous Christian writer, says that there are two types of Christian: Christian entertainers and Christian servant. Christian entertainers are like those musicians, actors, writers, speakers, comedians, which fill our periodical, dominates our seminar, and appeared on the television screen. They have fame, they have prestige, and they have money. The second type of Christian he refers to was a Christian servant. Christian servants are rarely in the spotlight. They toil unnoticed in remote places. They live among the rejects of society and work for low pay, long hours, and no applause. Their talents and skill are given to the poor and uneducated. Yet in the process of losing their lives, they have found themselves attain rewards that the famous never experienced. These two sets of Christian entertainers and Christian servants raise two interesting questions. What does it really mean to live like a Christian? Are we to be the entertainers or servants? Paul gave us some answer to that question in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." The Greek word translated conversation actually refers not to our conversation, the way that we talk, but to our conduct. The meaning of the word goes even deeper than conduct. It refers to the conduct which is our duty because we are members of a certain group. As Christians, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As citizens in God's kingdom, we have certain duty to the kingdom. What is our duty? What is our obligation as members or citizens of God's kingdom? Paul says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." In other words, in another translation, English Standard Bible says that, "Only let your manner of life be equal of the gospel of Christ." Here, Paul paints an interesting picture. The word translated worthy of or becometh actually means of equal weight, too. The words refer to a set of skill, weighing machine. In the ancient time, the weighing machine was a crossbar with a cup or plate hanging on both ends of the bar. I do not know whether you have seen it or not. I've seen it in the old time, 30, 40 years ago. You can still see some of these sort of things. The Chinese will use something, you know. On one side is a plate, and on the other is a weight. And then they measure the weight that you require. So that is the meaning of the word here. And so here, it tells us that on one end of the skill in our life is the gospel of Christ and all that it stands for, such as the love of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, all these are in the gospel. On the other side is our life, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, and the testimony we give to people, we show to others, which inspire them to believe the gospel. That kind of conduct should be equal with the gospel. In other words, if you are a Christian, you must live as a Christian. You must shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of the word here. Must be equal, must be balanced. Not like that. You see? So let us understand the meaning here. And Paul say, that is our duty. It's not for you to choose whether you want it or not. That is our duty. And he mentioned many times in most of his writing. In Ephesians chapter 1, he phrased it differently. What did he say? Chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I beseech you that ye walk worthily of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And also Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. So he encouraged, urged all the Christians to live the life in that manner. What does it mean to conduct our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel? Paul gave four answers to that question, which is found in the text which I'm going to preach. First one, live with tenacity. Paul told the Philippians that they were living like Christians when they stand fast in one spirit. The word stand fast is a Greek word, and it means tenacity or perseverance. What is important about our Christian life is not just what we do. It's not just what we do, but how long we do it. How long we do it. A story of an old man. He was 104 years old. He's an old man, right? Very few people can live up to that age. Our senior pastor, Craig Kok Chiang, what is his desire? He desired to live up to 100 years old. But he couldn't make it. Nearly make it. So 104 is very difficult. And so, the reporter interviewed him and asked him the question, how did you do it to live to such a long life? The old man replied, you want to have a long life? All right, listen carefully. And this is what he says. The old man replied, I ate the right food. Not anyhow. Ate the right food, got plenty of sleep each night. Didn't fool around. And never indulged in alcohol, smokes, and other harmful things. And the reporter replied, oh, I had an uncle who did that. And he died at the age of 55. And so he asked, can you please explain that? Well, the old man replied, certainly, your uncle did not do it consistently and long enough. You see the point there? The failure in most Christian life is not that we do not do the right thing. Most of us do the right thing. But rather, we don't persevere long enough. And therefore, Paul says, stand fast. Stand fast. What does the word stand fast mean? And in other version, translated, not stand fast, standing fast. Present continuous stand. Not just stand only. Present continuous stand. Keep on standing firm, no matter what. And that needs perseverance, right? That needs perseverance. Now, being a Christian does not mean just serving Christ when you are young. It means serving Christ all of your life. All right? Being a Christian does not mean just doing good when the going is easy. It means doing good whether the going is easy or not. Standing firm means perseverance. Tenacity means not easily stop or pull apart. It means firm, it means strong, persistent. consistent in maintaining. That's what I found in the dictionary. How can we have tenacity for the cause of Christ? Paul say we are to stand firm in one spirit. Chapter 1, verse 27. My notes upside down. Now, in this case, Paul says members of the church should be fused together and stand firm for the Lord. And that's why identifying with the church, joining a church as a member, and getting involved in the church are so important. We can only stand firm when we unite with other Christians in the fellowship of the church. How are we to stand firm? Number one, we stand firm when criticism comes. Think about your life. Is there someone critical of you? Do you have someone who is bothering you all the time? What do you do when criticism comes? You know what must you do? Paul say, stand firm. Stand firm. Don't give up. Stand firm. Secondly, we are to stand firm when disasters come. What do you do when disasters come? How do you handle unexpected, undeserved setback? You know how? Paul says, don't give up, stand firm. What does it mean to conduct our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel? Secondly, Paul says that we must live in harmony. And here he told the Philippians that they were to be with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The Greek word synalontes, translated striving together, is one word taken from the field of athletics. Literally, it means to wrestle together, to fight together in harmony. A comparable picture today would be a football game. Working together in harmony to bring the ball to the goal line. All right. The emphasis is not on the activities. It's not on the activities, but on the harmony in which the activities is being carried out. Likewise, the Christian life is one of activities. It is a life of commitment. We are to move out on the attack and we are to take the offensive. Like the football game, striving together in harmony with one mind. And what is that? To bring the ball to the goal line. Right? You see them praying, all of them had one thing in mind. Bring the ball to the goal line. Working in harmony. Each one play its part. That is, we are to work in harmony with other Christians. We are to work as a team for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone. In the church today, we have become so judgmental of each other. that we are destroying the harmony we are to possess. Remember, when we judge other Christians, it is not usually because they are bad, not that, but because they are different from us, different profession and different in spiritual maturity, different in background and different of talent. Yes, God put many kinds of Christians into the church, and each one has his talent, his gift for a kind of work. It may be also different of opinions and perspective. Beloved, we must remember that God made us all different. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from each other, different from each other. And God needs all of us to serve him in various ministry, united in one spirit for the faith of the gospel. When we strive together as Christians, using our unique gifts and resources and personalities and approaches, we can accomplish many things for the kingdom of God to his glory. But what does it mean to conduct our lives in the manner worthy of the gospel? Paul pointed out the third characteristic of Christian living, that it is to live in courage. Live in courage. And verse 28 in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 says, and in nothing terrified by your adversity. The word terrified is a Greek word, means to romenoi. The word pictures a horse suddenly frightened by an unexpected object. The word means not to be startled, not to be alarmed. Many adversities rise up against us as we seek to live our Christian lives. It may be someone in your school, college, or university who make fun of you or bully you. You can find bully in many, many places. You may have that because of your faith in Christ. It may be someone at work taunting or ridicule you because you are a Christian. It may be a member of your family who make life difficult for you to come to worship God, to come to church, come to serve the Lord. You see, it comes from all shapes of life. And all of us have enemies. You have and I have. As Christians, we are to confront them with courage, not fear. Facing our opponents with courage point to two significant truths. First of all, we know the ultimate outcome of things. We know what will happen when someone do all this thing to you. We know what will really happen. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in this regard. Let me have a drink. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12, it's a very famous passage here. The Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know what he says? Rejoice and be exceeding great, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There are many people who have gone through that. So you are not the first one. So if you encounter such things in your life, rejoice. You see, don't feel sad. Rejoice. Because you know the outcome will come. And this confidence is not self-confident, but God's confident. You know why? God will bless you. And Paul says that our deliverance are of God. Or are of God. When we live in courage, Paul says it is a sign or a proof to both Christian and non-Christian alike that our adversaries are on the road of destruction. They are on the road of destruction. And you are on the road to salvation. The word salvation doesn't mean salvation of soul. It means deliverance. God will deliver you out of trouble. All right, I read Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 to you from ESV. Here it says, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of you, salvation. You see that? There are many people I can quote off that have gone through all these things. Daniel is one of them. Daniel's three friends is also one of them. Joseph is another one. There are many in the Bible. Ran through a lot of persecution, a lot of trouble. But in the end, the Lord bless the person, but the other person, the Lord will handle. How? I do not know. Even in mission fields, like in mission fields, to y'all do not know the problem, but there are many, many problems. I was a pioneer missionary before, going to the place, hard to preach the gospel. And these people, they are Chinese. Most of them are soldiers from Chiang Kai-shek. They came down to Thailand and settled there. When you go there, you must know how to handle the top man. If the top man's okay, it's okay. But usually it's not okay. And a lot of problem. And it gives a lot of warning to those who believe in Jesus. If you believe, we'll do something. And there was an old lady stood firm, not afraid of the threatening. Say, I will believe the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. And you know what they do? Well, they say, okay. They went to her plantation and burned all their lychee fruits. Burned them all away. Big plantation. Lost a lot of money. But the lady still took firm. And in the end, the Lord blessed this lady. I saw her quite some time ago in Chiang Mai City. Was living in a village and came out, the Lord blessed them. The Lord blessed the children, the Lord blessed her. So this is one of the examples in the mission field sometimes you encounter. I encountered a lot. Stood firm. Don't be afraid. The Lord will open a way of escape for you. Don't bother about what the Lord will do to that person. Let the Lord handle. You see, the Lord knows how to handle. So that's the thing. Whenever you face any trouble, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Stoop firm. Finally, how to live like a Christian, a life of submission. We must display our submission to the Lord in our Christian living. And this is what it says in verse 29, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. He said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but what? But also to suffer for his sake. Now, when you study this, you must know the background. You must know the background, okay? The Philippians had heard of Paul's suffering in Rome. And also earlier in his missionary journeys. They knew the difficulties and the suffering Paul had gone through in the Lord's ministry. And now Paul said, what has happened to you will happen to me will happen to you. Because suffering is a part of the Christian life. How can we evaluate suffering? First of all, notice how Paul used the words in this verse. Paul suggests that the suffering has been given to you for Christ's sake. The word given here is the same word used to describe the gift of salvation given to us. In other words, if you receive salvation, you receive suffering to come together. All right? To come together. So as God gives you the gift of salvation, He gives you the gift of suffering for our Christian living. It is part of Christian life. And Jesus has said that to the disciple. What did Jesus say? He said that the world will persecute us because of your faith in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 18, 20, and 21. We usually think of suffering as something which will destroy us. Usually we think that way. And what do? We pray, beg God to take it away. Right? Very natural. Many of us will do that. In some cases, suffering may be a gift from God, which He will use it to develop us the way He wants us to be, if we will be submissive to Him. So we need to pray that God will teach us so that we may use it for His glory. Let me give you an example here concerning suffering. The Apostle Paul was the best example. He was a faithful servant of the Lord, working for the Lord in His service. And yet, he encountered many, many problems and suffering. He was even put in prison for the sake of the gospel. Now, when he wrote this letter to the Philippians, where was he? He was in prison. He was in prison. Why? God used him to witness to the authority in Rome. You see, in prison he can do it. In other areas cannot. In prison he can do it. Because the prisoner, the authority, the soldiers, or the warden, what, always be with the Apostle Paul. Make sure that he will not run away. Because he's standing for a trial, you see. And so cannot run away. When Paul talked to other Christians, the officer heard about it. And sometimes the officer, move and ask questions, he answer. So he has a lot of time witnessing to all these people. And many, many of them came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those in the palace. And this is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, tells us that. So as a result, many came to Christ. So my friend, you see, when we submit to life experience and allow God to use them to develop us, and this is what He wants us to be, then we are living like a Christian. A Christian should be submissive to the will of God. God wants you to do anything, you obey, God bless you. Sometimes suffering may come. Problem may come, big problem. But if you are submissive according to God's will, God will open the way out, God will bless you. And so Paul said, encourage the Philippians to live like Christian. If you are a Christian, live like Christian. But today the question is this, are you living like a Christian? Not just Sunday, I know you are a Christian here. How about other people around you, your neighbor? Do they know that you are a Christian? Have you opened out your mouth and tell them about Christ? Or through your behavior, if you can't speak, or do not know how to speak? And this is what Christ wants all of us, to be a sunbeam for Him, to shine for Him. And I hope, as we begin this year, 2017, let us begin it well, as a sunbeam for the Lord Jesus Christ.